So I'm getting used to having a tech crew in the back. I come from smaller congregations. I'm not quite used to that yet, so I'm not used to the hand signals. But I'll get there. All right, so just like I sprung it on you on Wednesday, show of hands, how many people filled out their little spaces in the book this week? Studied with their spouse? Studied with their kids? Young kids, old kids, doesn't matter. Study with your kids. We're going to talk about something a little sad today regarding God and his attitude towards man, but more importantly, man and his attitude towards God. And also, before we get into this, show of hands, has anybody ever gone to the Ark Encounter? Okay. Not too many. While we don't support the doctrine that they teach, it is certainly something interesting to look at. The Ark is an amazing story, and so let's get into it. So the clicker I'm supposed to have, there it is. Guided by the fill in the blanks, we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Why was God grieved at his heart? And I'll give you a hint. There's two answers. What was that?
Sorry he made man.
Okay. He's sorry he made man. Why is that? That's the first answer. What's the second one? Why was he grieved? Why was he sorry? Wickedness. Evil. Violence. I mean, how succinct can you get when he says that every thought in the heart of man was evil, full of wickedness, and there was violence throughout the earth? Are these people supposed to be any different than we are? These are not grunting cavemen. These are not unintelligent life forms. These are men and women just like we are. So, he says that he's going to destroy man. But who found favor? Of all of the people on the earth, and I believe at that time there were a lot, who found favor? God. Okay. And what was said about him?
Okay.
He walked with God. Perfect in his generations. Not really sure exactly technically what that means, but I've read enough commentaries to try to see if I can portray that. He had righteousness in his heart. He had teaching in his family, and his servitude to God was, I hate to say perfect. He was not a perfect man. But his serving God was perfect, as we're going to see, as God asks him to do something extraordinary. DJ?
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by which one?
He was a perfect man, but he's perfect by serving
him. Well, we know later on that he was not sinless. He was weak. He had weakness. But we do know that he had captured the attention of God in his righteousness and his servitude towards him. Some commentaries seem to think that his family lineage had not been corrupted by the daughters of Cain or whatever. I mean, I'm sorry, not daughters of Cain, but those that are ungodly. I don't have the historical background And a lot of this is speculation, because as you have read, this is the text that we have. It doesn't always come with explanation. So we will take that as at face value. Noah was a righteous man before God.
Here. The word perfect, as it's used, primarily means mature or full grown, not perfect in terms of sinless perfect. And so the idea was he was mature in his faith towards God.
Complete. Perfect is used as complete or mature. And Noah was that, as we're about to see as he demonstrates. So, Noah had three sons. Everybody know who those are? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth is actually the oldest, I believe. Which of these is through which of these does the lineage of Christ appear? Shem. Probably why he was mentioned first. So, what is the length and the measurements of the ark that God has asked Noah to build? 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. What's a cubit? Tip of the finger to the elbow. It varies a little bit, man to man, but it's approximately a foot and a half. So what does that tell you about the length and the shape of the ark that God has asked Noah to build? Does it look like a schooner or a battleship? It's huge. It's 450 feet long, which is about half the size of the Titanic, a large boat. It's not built for speed. What's its makeup? What is it like? It's like a big barge. Okay. And it is made out of gopher wood. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what gopher wood is, but God said, Make it out of gopher wood. Noah knew what he meant. So let's discuss very briefly the concept of God's authority. Did God have to tell Noah what not to make it out of? What else did he do? What else did he tell Noah to do to the ark? Pitch. What is pitch? It's effectively tar. Seal the inside and the outside of this gopher wood barge with tar. Waterproofing it. Did God have to tell Noah what not to coat it in? All right, I've made my point. Pardon me?
How did they make tar?
Tar is a natural occurring petroleum byproduct in that region. There are some atheists that say that it does not exist there, but in fact they are wrong. Not only did it exist there during Noah's time, but I believe, was it John Rockefeller, actually used that Bible scripture and the area that's being referred to go drill for oil, and he found it.
I have read sometimes that there were tar pits burning in that area.
Right. Tar pools. We also know from archaeological findings that there are many artifacts that have been preserved by having been dropped into or covered by those tar pools. So the commentators would tell us that it took about 3 million board feet of timber to make the ark, inside and out. Now, I don't know, maybe that's why we don't have any gopher wood now. Maybe Noah used it all. How long did God say, approximately, that he was going to give Noah to build the ark?
300 cubits
long. What I was asking was how long did God say, when I say, Noah, you're going to build the ark, how long did it take Noah? How long did God give Noah to build the ark? 120 years. Now, if you're like I am, you kind of got misdirected on this. I used to think that was when God changed the life expectancy of man. I misunderstood that. While God may have done that, this is not the recording of it. What he's saying is, in 120 years, man is done, except for Noah and his family. So, this is a large vessel. Noah built it, and we don't have a lot of detail about it, but we do know what God says is true, and what we don't have are the details. If God didn't give us details, then we don't know. We don't need to know about it. So when the flood came, was it just rain? I mean, we know what rain is, right? I mean, we have toad chokers here, so it rains like crazy here. But that's not what we're talking about. What else occurred to cover every square inch of this earth? The firmament, the heavens were opened up and poured out water. The deep opened up and poured out water. One of the commentators said that back in the early days of the earth, if there were fewer mountains and fewer valleys in the ocean, there would be no place for us to live. If an atheist tells you there's not enough water to cover the mountains on this earth, then he's uneducated. There's more than enough water to cover all of the mountains and all of the land on this earth. So watch that one. Okay, sorry, back to the questions. All right, 40 days and 40 nights. How long was the water on the earth? 150 days. 5 months in a boat. So when and where did the ark first rest? I know we're skipping over a lot of text, but we'll come back to some of that in a minute. When and where? What does it say? 7th month, 17th day. Now, is that on the calendar or is that... I believe that's after Noah turned 500 years old. Those are the account is after is actually based on Noah, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, they were actually on the ark for a year. It's counted by Noah's life. I think the 5 months or 150 days is when the water started receding. Mm-hmm. His year, and then it's a year, right, almost exactly a year later before they actually stepped off the ark.
Okay. So where did the ark rest whenever the waters were receding? In the mountains of Ararat. Anybody know where that is? Yeah, effectively, if I understand it correctly, some of the geek shows that I've watched, it's right about where four countries intersect, but it's technically, I guess, in Turkey. Commentators seem to record in man's secular history that there are evidences that people have found of the ark. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there's validity to that. Truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anybody but unbelievers that they have to have a piece of the ark in their hand. I believe it. It's God said it. That's a big boat. It was supposed to have been waterproof, so it probably lasted for a while, where people could actually go see it. I'm not sure what happened to it today. There are people that believe that they found it. Like I said, it's almost to the point where only the unbelievers need to have it. Upon leaving the ark, what did Noah first do? Why would he build an altar? Is this something that Noah just thought up? I believe that man, for a long time before now, had known how to worship God. That God had informed men of what he expected. But man wasn't interested. Noah was considered righteous. And he was the one who built an altar. And what did he do on the altar? He made animal sacrifices, Larry. Clean animals. We see the clean and the unclean. Even though the law of Moses has not been obviously put into effect yet, God has told man what is clean and unclean. All right? What else did God tell Noah? At least that we have recorded. Eat of anything? Except blood. Why is that? Life is in the blood. So the next part to me is a little bit sad. You've heard me say something about it before, but I'm going to say it again. I think it is at least offensive to me that modern day representations of the rainbow don't mean what they should mean. What does the rainbow mean in Genesis? What is it? It's the symbol of a covenant between God and man. And what does that covenant promise? God will not destroy the earth by water ever again. By water. Don't forget that part. So, question number 9. Jebusite, the Amorite, the Hivite, descended from whom? Canaan. The author put this question in here not because it's vitally important, but he wants you to study. He wants you to go through all of those nations and understand that the nations came from these four men, these four families. Or at least the three, if you want to call it that, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So, question 10. How many sons did each one of the men have? Japheth had seven. And where is that? 10, verse 2. Very good. Shem, how many sons?
Five.
And also Ham? 4. Okay. So the next section, because the author likes to review, we're going to go back and review. It's a good study aid. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and took them as wives. You're going to hear some pretty far-fetched ideas as what this scripture refers to. Again, all I can do is read commentaries because it doesn't do a lot of explaining in the text. But I believe that the teaching here is that the sons of God are those that are faithful to Him. And that would be sons of Seth. And the daughters of men would be the descendants of whom? Cain. So we have the lovers of God and those that are obedient to God versus those who are, would they be haters of God? Do you believe Cain would have taught through his legacy that God was unfair to him and that they are, they got over it after a while and everybody came back around and everything was fine and they worshiped God? It seems unlikely. It seems as though descendants of Cain populated the earth with those who are maybe not even just unbelievers, but maybe even haters of God. So do you believe that God would have expressed to the sons of Seth what his wishes for them were, where they should take wives? Seems that he is not happy with the situation. And since he is not unfair, I believe they may have been taught by God where they can find wives. Because we know that happened later, right? In the law of Moses. Number two, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We covered this. But think about this for a minute. Those of us who are parents, keep in mind that you were designed and created after God. What do you want for your children? What do you want for those that you love? And how do you feel when that does not strike their heart? When they pursue wickedness? What do we see throughout the latter part of the Old Testament? God's relationship with the nation of Israel, how much He blessed them, and what was their response? What does he refer or liken His relationship to them as? He likens a relationship between God and the nation of Israel as a husband and a wife, and an unfaithful one at that. Graphically, he describes how the nation of Israel, time and time again, generation after generation, is unfaithful to him, taking themselves into the street, worshiping other gods. And that is referred to as adultery. When God saw that the wickedness of man was prevalent, The emotional upheaval in God must have been great for Him to decide to destroy man. Number three. We pretty much already covered that one, so we'll skip that one. Let's go to four. How far above the mountains did the water prevail? 15 cubits. Is there any indication that that would not be effective in wiping out everything that breathed air on the earth? And was there for such a period of time that nothing else could have lasted? God knew that. Unfortunately, in the Scopes monkey trial, this was not remembered. God did not say that he would destroy all the fish and everything that breathed water, only the things that breathed air. The men, women, beasts of the field, everything that creeped and crawled, as the King James refers to it, I believe. But not the fish. Saw an article yesterday that they have found some very interesting artifacts in the stomachs of crocodiles and alligators that they've harvested, some of them many years old. And of course, it's speculation as to how they got there. But there are indications from a lot of the creatures that we see in the ocean that their design has been there for a long time. And keep in mind that when God said on land, he meant that, in case someone corners you about that and asks you, well, wait a minute, what, you know, did God kill all of the creatures on the earth? No, he did not. Only the ones that breathe air. So when were the mountains? This is a trick question because I got this wrong. I had to erase it. On number five, on the what day of the what month the tops of the mountains were seen? First day of the 10th month. Where is that found? 8-5. Because I got that one wrong. It's a little baffled me a little bit there for a minute. Wrote it down wrong and had to fix it. So God has always had an expectation that man would live by God's laws, by God's rules. Even before the law of Moses, we see that. So number six, God said, whoso, King James, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Today there's a, you want to call it a political, maybe even a moral question that still looms over this country as to whether or not capital punishment is the right way to go for a nation. What did God feel about that? And pointed out the expectation by God for the nation of Israel to go in and wipe out certain nations before them, so that the sons of God would not be taught by, contaminated by, and ruined and tempted by the nations of heathens that worshipped other gods and did other practices. God wanted these nations wiped out, and the nation of Israel didn't do it. God has an expectation that taking life sometimes is the correct and just thing to do by his authority. He has done it. He has given to nations the right to do that in the historical record. So it shouldn't surprise us that here he's teaching man, in your society, this is what I consider to be justice. Okay, so after the flood and the waters recede and this big shoebox-shaped barge has landed on Mount Ararat, the door is presumed open, and the animals and man have come out into this perhaps vastly different earth. What did Noah do? He made his sacrifice before God. God made the covenant with him and with all man. What did Noah become? He became a farmer. Probably really excited to see some dry land. So let's go farm that. And what did he plant? Vineyard. Let's skip ahead. Got about 10 minutes left. And let's do some true false. Before we get to that, does anybody have anything over what we've covered that they want to bring up? We've covered a lot of material. I know that there's a lot of detail in Genesis, and there's a lot of the story that we don't have recorded that a lot of people are confused about today. I was sitting there thinking about that yesterday, and the percentage of the population on this earth that holds to God's truth, as we see, you know, there are something like 220 civilizations in the past, and 95% of them refer to some cataclysmic event like a flood and talk about a boat. And those, maybe even to the degree of saying that there were 8 people that were saved on that boat. But as we go farther in history here, we see a smaller and smaller percentage of those who would believe the rest of the Bible and those things are true. We do. Anybody want to chime in?
Well, just his plan where he had more clean animals on the boat than non-clean, you know, so because that's going to be the food source in the future, and how there were 7 of them. And then he takes 1 of them to sacrifice. You know, just how the ultimate planning of the whole thing.
There's a lot of curiosities about the ark. There's speculation that a lot of the animals were hibernated by God so that there would not be an enormous amount of work for those 8 people to do. There's also no expectation that Noah was told to learn how to catch a bird. So I think God had helped Noah a lot in gathering those animals and finding a place and a time and an area to put them. Yeah, I can't help but believe that Noah had a lot of help. In fact, one of the commentators said that God didn't say, take the animals onto the ark. He said, bring the animals onto the ark. That God was there and active and helping him in that. We know that We know that the door was shut by God, and that would signify that whatever he was going to accomplish had been accomplished in gathering the right number of clean and unclean animals, the food required, whatever else was necessary to stay afloat for that long.
Also, we got to remember that once they were off of the ark, God changed the relationship between man and animals. For the animals, would that be free? You're now going to use them for food. So there was, it may just be that Noah had an easier time dealing with the animals if that relationship were a little bit different as well.
Yeah, if you go see the Ark Encounter, there's a few cages in there dedicated to the dinosaurs. So there's a lot of conversation that we could have about the Ark, the animals before and after. A great deal of it is speculation, and as our preacher used to teach us, he said a lot of times you can find out what is by determining what it's not, but that doesn't give you all the answers. Many references to Noah, his righteousness, and the ark as being a foreshadow of baptism in the New Testament. So we could study this subject for weeks and months, but let me go ahead and move forward. I find it fascinating, don't get me wrong, but there's only so much we can cover, and to cover all of the speculation would not be profitable. Interesting. But not profitable for attaining truth. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. That's the truth. You have to kind of watch this a little bit because you got to make sure that you know who said what and take a look at the King James versus what we have in modern day translations. But this one is true from Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. We already talked about the second one. The Bible speaks of Noah as being blameless or perfect in his generations. It's true. Noah's sons were the only people taken into the ark. False. So we have Noah and his wives. Noah and his wives. Boy, I messed that one up. Noah's sons and their wives and Noah's wife. We have eight people on the ark. Noah only had one wife. I said that wrong. Make sure I'm clear on that. Let's see number five. This one gave me a little bit of heartburn, so let's see if we can get this one answered. Noah sent a bird out of the ark four times. Is that true? So the first time he sent out a raven and, is that right? Did he send the raven out alone the first time? Or did he send two birds out the first time? I was confused by that one. So I had 3 plus 1. 2 minutes. Done. Wow, time flies. Okay, great.
All 3 years together.
Okay, great.
We don't have a
Okay. Okay, if you don't have a book, please pick up the printed out questions and study with your family. We'll pick this up on Wednesday, one way or the other. Thank you.